Jen Zamperali on 2FM with Leia Healthcare. Always a beat ahead. Visit leiahealthcare.ie. Leia Healthcare, looking after you always.
How does a boy who blew up his own bedroom in a chemistry set end up as Fellow of the Royal Society? It is a fascinating journey, but it's all covered in just the first 7 pages of my next guest's new book. Why? Because he has so much else to put in there. Ireland's favourite scientist, Luke O'Neill, is back on the programme and the first time in studio.
Isn't it great? Ireland's favourite scientist. That's nice.
You are.
I'm not sure that's true.
You are. Absolutely. We spoke loads during...
We did.
And it's lovely to have you in studio. And
thank you very much. Great to be here.
How are you?
Very well. Very well. How's yourself?
What keeps you going? Is it the music?
It's absolutely the music and the science, the combination of the two. You know, you can't beat both, you know. No, my relaxation time is get the guitar out.
Do you?
Crank it up to 11.
Yeah.
You know, heavy metal or whatever. You can't beat it, you know.
But my husband, I was telling you off air, my husband started doing that and it's really painful for the rest of the family.
Must be awful for you. That's right. Yeah, you got to watch that, haven't you? Yeah.
But I think you're pretty decent at it. What is life like for you these days after, a couple of years, you were kind of carrying a lot of us through that horrendous time. Did you need a bit of therapy after that?
I needed a break. I tell you that much. I needed a break. It was pretty intense, wasn't it?
As you know yourself.
I mean, I was doing so much stuff in the media and TV and all sorts, you know, because people asked me and I wanted to get the information out there and use my expertise. And I died down tremendously. And the good news is I don't get recognised in the street anymore because I'm not on the telly.
as soon as you're off the telly,
as you know, they forget about you.
That's very true.
So it's got a bit easier, I'd say, than it was at the height of it.
But you kind of shouted a little bit louder, even with adversity. I mean, you mention in the book death threats in parts of the book, which is quite scary. And I read the notes and it's very worrying that it got to that level.
That was disturbing, no doubt about it. You know, I had about 7 death threats in total. And that's mainly people saying, stop talking about vaccines. How dare you? Tell us what to do. Wear a mask. Get lost, kind of thing, you know. But the only thing that kept me going was every scientist was getting it. I didn't take it personally. Because many of my colleagues, as you interviewed them as well, I'm sure, they were getting the same thing. You know? So it was kind of orchestrated in a way. And then I was okay. The guards looked after me. They came to see me to say it's going to be okay, you know. But it was interesting. And what got me was I had to have a bodyguard for 4 months. Can you believe it? And I'm going, what's gone wrong that scientists need bodyguards? Like, what kind of times are we living in?
How do you explain it? What was going on?
I think people were terrified, first of all, and they get drawn to conspiracy theories then, don't they? And they think, oh, look,
try and make sense of
it's 5G or whatever it might be. And that's one reason why it happens. I do think I heard from the guards as well, it was a bit orchestrated, society being destabilized. In other words, let's get stuck into people here kind of thing, you know? So it's complicated, I suppose. And then people are frightened, obviously, because it was a scary time.
Now, if I got death threats from myself and my husband, because your wife got them as well, I'd be like, okay, maybe I'll just go to Lanzarote for a couple of weeks. And maybe I'll just keep... I like, that's a bit scary. That's like a different level now. But you actually went the other way.
I did, because the reason why I responded in the way, keep going, was get the information out there. There were unusual times. And my job was to counter the stuff that was being said, that vaccines are going to kill you or whatever the issue might have been, with science. And say, look, I'm a scientist. This is my view. And let people decide themselves. You know, people listening, they can decide, is what Luke's saying correct or is what the other people are saying? So I double down. Because for them to stop me would have been a failure. You know, in other words, keep the information going, and that was it. And again, I never took it personally, and it was easy to block people and all that kind of thing. You know, so I just kept going, basically.
You did. And you had a bodyguard.
I did. Isn't that marvellous?
The
best part of that, Jennifer, is this. So his great guy called Cher, ex-Irish Army guy, and he was with me for 4 months. And he said to me one day, oh, my wife loves the fact that I'm your bodyguard. She calls me Kevin Costner. He says, what's that? So we did a bit of a laugh.
I was Whitney.
Okay. Precisely.
Listen, the book is called To Boldly Go Where No Book Has Gone Before, A Joyous Journey Through All of Science. How the hell did you fit it all in?
Well, that was a pandemic, you see. So it was interesting this. I was approached by Penguin, the big publisher, and they said to me, do you want to do a new science book? And I said, yes. And then we said, what do we write about? And it became a history of science, they suggested to me, you know. And it's a series of biographies of all the great scientists, you see, and little quirky stories here
Brilliant.
And there. And it kind of fell together. I was doing it at the weekends, and I've got a day job, you know. Mm-hmm. And I like writing. I mean, people often ask me, how do you find the time? For me, writing is like painting. You know, people paint to relax.
Sure.
when I for some reason, if I write, it's like a relaxation thing. So I wasn't too. I'm lucky that way. Some people.
And it's probably when you're writing about all these greats, it's probably quite motivating for your day.
Very
job.
Much so, and fascinating. I am a scientist, and the research is fascinating. People like there's all kinds of. Let's say this way, Jennifer. Scientists are rather unusual. There's people in my experience. So talking about their quirks and their eccentricities. One of the lines I use is, "Science is the best reality TV show of all time, full of all these personalities and clashes and rivalries." The good thing about it is, it's more than entertainment. It's useful as well. It brings benefits. You know, so that's one of the messages in the book, really.
And we don't have time for all of the science, but thanks to Marvel, everyone has heard of the multiverse these days. But what is Dublin's connection to that concept?
Yes. Well, a guy called Schrödinger, who was a famous physicist, happened to be in Dublin, and he gave a talk in the 50s about this multiverse notion. And he said, this is pretty crazy. And they reckon, because we're so famous as a physicist, people listen to him. And it's a wacky idea. Can you imagine? There's billions of different universes. And you and I talking now, we might butt off into a different conversation in a different universe. Isn't this crazy? You know, and yet the science to support the multiverse idea, you see. And let's see if that continues.
Okay, I've done Dublin. I have to do Cork now. We have to do Cork because they get very angry. Why is Cork important part of the world?
Loads of reasons.
The whole idea of computers.
Well, George Boole, a guy called Boole, he was the first professor of mathematics in UCC, although it was called Queen's University at the time. He's very famous. His maths is the basis for all computers and the information. It's called Boolean algebra is the funny name for it. But his story's great, Jennifer. Do you know what? His wife killed him. Did you ever hear that bit? Inadvertently.
No.
Okay. He was walking into UCC one morning. He got soaked to the skin, developed probably pneumonia. In those days, they used to treat you with what caused the illness. His wife kept wrapping him in cold blankets and it made it, and he died, right? And so sadly, inadvertently, obviously, she wasn't intending on killing him.
God, you know. No, Jesus, who did that? No.
That's right. Yeah.
Okay, let's look at all of Ireland because this applies to many of my listeners because I know what they're like. Is your scientific examination of the hangover?
Very important.
Go on.
Close to our hearts.
What are the basics of what's happening in the brain there?
Well, the book is every aspect of science is covered, and the mind. There's a chapter on the mind. What is the mind? How does the mind work and all that stuff? And we don't really know. It's actually the biggest mystery in science at the moment is what's the base for consciousness. We don't really understand it. And it's very important for all kinds of diseases. But we know what causes a hangover. So when you drink alcohol, you suppress something in your brain called glutamate, goes down, right? And that causes anxiety, glutamate. That's why you feel good. Glutamate goes down. The trouble is you get a rebound the next day and the glutamate overshoots. Anxiety is all about glutamate, you see.
Lovely.
So we know the basis for that. You know what you get? I believe it's called the fear.
The fear.
You and I wouldn't have this. So did you ever have the fear?
Come here, Luke, now. I'm doing sober October and I wanted
fantastic.
My pioneer badge when I came in this morning because I got through my first weekend.
Well done. Congratulations.
And that's why I have to do sober October. Yeah, and it's great. And there's tricky parts of it, but the amount that I'm so smug in the mornings.
I can imagine.
It's
that's
great.
Right. Your glutamate rebound is under control, you can say to people.
I'm doing it for my, what's it called? Glutamate?
Glutamate. Yeah.
I'm doing it for my glutamate.
That's it.
That's why
it.
I'm doing. Is that right, Kate? I'm doing that's it for my glutamate. okay, look, you've spoken openly recently about what drives you. You have two books out at the minute. You're just back from winning an award in the USA. Congratulations.
Thanks very much.
You've kind of a fairly big day job. You know, how do you keep it all going? And do you ever think, I'm going to stop soon and play golf or just play my guitar?
I don't have a job. It's the answer. I love it. I'm a scientist. And the book describes my own journey through science, by the way. I give little examples. I don't know what it is. I just get up in the morning, go into the lab, meet the students. We're discovering new things about the immune system and diseases. What could be better than that, you know? And then people ask me to go and give talks at conferences. I swan off to wherever it might be, you know, and I give a talk. And it's just fantastic, you know? And the biggest thrill of all, Jennifer, is to make a discovery, you remember, because science is actually about trying to find new things out, you know?
Yeah.
And we work on these diseases. We work about Parkinson's, we're making discoveries about those diseases. So it's fantastic, you know. And I get tired sometimes, of course. I do have a limit. And then I get the guitar out or I might go for a drink with friends or whatever it is. So it's very important to have a bit of downtime.
Yeah.
Otherwise your brain gets a bit clogged,
so
you know.
You're very good at balance, would you say?
I try to.
Yeah.
I try to keep the balance there.
Okay.
Very important. Yeah, a bit of exercise.
If I asked the missus, would she agree?
She probably wouldn't. That's right. I think she's relieved though. She gets rid of me for some of the time.
Yeah.
But she's a scientist as well.
That's right.
So we can talk about it at night, you know. We'll talk about our day and I'd mention glutamate and she'll know what it is.
She knows what glutamate is.
That's right.
And she's all over it. Now, the cover of the book describes you as the science teacher you wish you had. How important is it to keep young boys and girls interested in science and what can parents do.
It's essential. This book is about that as well, because remember, all the great scientists had a great education in science, first of all. You know, if we want to be a country that's going to be successful in the next 100 years, teach them science in school, because that's what the future is all about, really. And then remember, Jennifer, as I'm sure when you were a kid, they all loved dinosaurs or the stars and all. It gets driven out of them for some reason
and
in their teen years.
And all
well, you can't
kind of
be. You can't be getting a few test tubes out, as they always say. You know, so doing experiments is a thrill for them, especially kids. They love messing around in the kitchen. You can do experiments in your own kitchen if you like. You know, so but you're right though. The mystery is how do we keep them engaged, and get and especially girls actually, because they were often left out. You know, now they're in the ascendant. 2/3 of my lab are women at the moment. You know,
that's encouraging.
So it's isn't it encouraging? Yeah. So in other words, keep them engaged.
Do you worry that AI would take your sciencey jobs?
No, AI is a fantastic tool, because remember, every time science advances, normally someone invents a microscope or a telescope or whatever, and then we learn more. AI is another fantastic tool. I'll give you one good example. So AI can read very fast.
Yeah.
And I could put into an AI machine 10,000 books. It'll read those books in 5 minutes, you know, and you can ask a question. Isn't that incredible? And in drug discovery, all the drug companies are using AI now, because it's a really fast way to develop new medicines. So I'm predicting, and as many of us are, an acceleration in knowledge now using computers. And with the students, I get them to write an essay with AI, and then I get them to critique it. They have to stand up in front of me, and there's mistakes, and they'll give their own view of it. So it's a great learning
tool,
aid, really.
Yeah,
exactly.
That's a tool for all the greats and the scientists of this world. Luke, thank you so much for joining me today. Professor Luke O'Neill's new book, it's called To Boldly Go Where No Book Has Gone Before, A Joyous Journey Through All of the Science. And it's out now, so you better go get it.
Jen Zamparelli on 2FM with Leia Healthcare. Always a beat ahead. Visit leiahealthcare.ie. Leia Healthcare, looking after you always.